Hey everyone, I'm sorry I didn't get a show off the ground at the beginning of the week. I have found myself overwhelmed with, research, but the problem is I've got multiple irons in multiple research fires, and unfortunately each one is finding a way to choke off my progress of the one next to it, which isn't a complaint because at some point all of these things are going to congeal and I'm going to have a plethora of shows for you. But I wanted to talk about, I don't know how philosophical I wanted to be about this, but there is a tool that I am employing that has turned into kind of a separate mission or journey. If you follow me on Instagram, you will see that I had posted recently that I have been to various and numerous and sometimes slightly distant cemeteries in the pursuit of stories of individuals and periods of time. I do this on purpose because I have always felt like, even though cemeteries are, no pun intended, a dead patch, so to speak, there is something to be said about the implied history that you can feel when you walk through them. And I don't mean any kind of strange metaphysical power of any kind. I just simply mean there are stories that are there and they are fading in the human consciousness every single day that those people lay silent. And I know that sounds like some otherworldly or self-important mission statement, but I have lately been using something that at first was only a whimsical pursuit. Many years ago, I'm going to say probably 25 years ago, I was going through a period of time where I was reading about the way people in high positions of fame had many times met rather indecorously and what we would say infamous exits. I mean, some of them, of course, involve suicide, but a lot of them involve overdoses. A lot of them involve accidents of sorts. And there have been a lot of websites dedicated to explaining the sometimes macabre nature of these people's end-of-life story. And those can be intriguing. I mean, people listen to true crime all the time, and it isn't always about the machinations in the brain of the demented person that committed the crime, but sometimes the gruesomeness of the crime committed is something that people do find interesting in a twisted and entropically vain and a degrading way, I guess. We're all terminal rubberneckers at the end of the day with that sense of curiosity, but it isn't always healthy. And in this particular case, many of these articles would talk about the death of, let's say, Bing Crosby. Now, Bing Crosby, and I'm just using him as an example, I remember reading the story, and it talked about how he was on the golf course when he succumbed to a heart attack. And then within this article was a link to a site called Find a Grave. Now, when I first saw it, it felt kind of campy and it felt kind of macabre because it was taking you to the picture of their grave and it talked about when they were born and when they died. And if you go to findagrave.com, their logo is sort of purple with a font that will remind you of Disney's Haunted Mansion. And so there is a slightly, I don't know, campy or comical patina that is on the site. However, somewhere over the years, it went and it graduated from being something that was just simply, I don't know, a place for rubberneckers to see where the rich and famous passed away and where you could locate them if you wanted to go lionize them or leaf flowers or something like that. And it became a tool utilized by everyday people. I was surprised last December at the loss of my mother to find out that someone had created an account for my father's grave, who had passed away 20 years prior. And it was just placed there by a charitable soul who is engaged in a pursuit that I find to be incredibly noble. And it was simply someone that most likely did not know my father, but was passing through the cemetery, took a photo of the plot, took down the general information, and looked up to see if anyone had created his essential story on Find a Grave, and they created it. And there it is sit. And I was surprised to find that there were other accounts connected to it. His sisters, my aunts, uncles, my great-grandmother and grandfather, or not my great-grandmother, but my grandmother and grandfather, who I never met. They were passed away long before I was ever born, and I knew very little about them. I actually have seen photos of where they are buried in Texas now. So there is an entire world out there that has this sort of desire to keep what was in the past from completely falling off the spectrum of human consciousness. And there are people that will go around and do this en masse. They will create these accounts, hoping to have family members contact them one day and say, hey, would you mind if I took control of that account that you created for my father? I have done this myself. I have messaged the person who created my father's, and they have not gotten back to me. And I saw that when they created this many years ago now, that they were already stating that they were in ill health. And so I don't know what to say really about that, other than the fact that maybe they've passed on, and then I can appeal to the website makers themselves. Anyway, my whole point of this is to say the following. There is a virtue in this. There is a virtue in possibly taking a single forgotten person and telling their story. And I think that it would be a noble thing for anyone that, if you're going to visit a cemetery someday, or you have someone that you frequently visit in your life, make one of those accounts and have it on your phone. And when you go to the cemetery, or before you go there, look, and you will find there are many, many requests from family that are nowhere near where you are, that are asking for a simple photo of their loved one's grave. And many times, if you're able to find it, sometimes this can be a chore, you take a photo of it, maybe any other information. You can even provide GPS information of its location and just simply add it. It provides comfort to someone else. It provides information to someone who truly desires it. And this sort of has now erupted for me in the most interesting sense. I had the pleasure recently of doing a podcast. I won't go into it right now, but it will most likely be my next podcast that will come on the weekend. I had done a podcast about a particular incident in this area, and there was a sub-character. There was an individual in that story that I paid a little bit of attention to because it invoked some curiosity in me. They were injured in an accident, and they were listed in newsprint at the turn of the century as being, expected to die. And when I found out he did not die at 78 years of age, I thought that was kind of cool. And then I found out that, he lived another 4 or 5 years. And that was the end of that podcast. And I thought, I gave this guy, and I named him. His name's Milton. I'll just say that much for now. And I gave him, I put his name back on the air, so to speak, back on the wind. And then I was doing some research for some other things, and I decided literally a little over a week ago that I was going to take a second look at this man. So I pulled up the newsprint articles that I had saved from the online and digitized microfiche, and I pulled them back up and I started reading. And there was a couple of aspects to his life that were mentioned in an obituary that I did not pay attention to and would really just glide past most people, except I have particular interests with regards to a single reference. Well, that reference took me down some interesting rabbit holes to the point that it has gotten to a place where a man who has been dead for 110 years and would literally be 194 if he were still alive. A man forgotten in terms of conversational annals of time. In terms of society, no one knows his name. No one cares. But I care now. And I cared once I began to realize that one single man buried in an unmarked grave in my area has a story that is literally like a motion picture quality kind of story. I would demean him to make it in a picture. But I do think this is a story that is actually interesting beyond the parameters of my show, and I do think that it is an interesting tab in the development of the West, especially the lines and the developments, the societal constructions of Nevada and California. And I'm going to be putting that out this weekend. And the story's not even completely done, but it was amazing. And so back to findagrave.com. Because he was a forgotten man who had been divorced and his wife and daughter moved away from him and he left Nevada and came to Redding, he died in 1914 at the age of 83 and was buried. And who knows if he had a marker? He doesn't have one now, and it took considerable effort from me and my friend Ryan McCloskey at Redding Memorial Cemetery to triangulate and figure out where he's at. But we do know where he's at, and I'm going to tell his story. But I am in charge of his Find a Grave account because I created it. And when I created it, what did I discover? Someone had already made them for his wife and daughter. So I have now been able to connect them on Find a Grave like a genealogical tree of sorts. For me, this is exciting. And it's not just his story I'm going to tell. I recently also discovered that in Northern California, particularly the Redding, Cottonwood, and Red Bluff areas, that a famous Mormon mystic, someone who was originally a charter member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And at one point, she wrote a book where she stepped out on her own doctrinal limbs. I'm not LDS, I'm not a Mormon, but I'm saying within their parameters, she wrote a book that was a bridge too far for the elders. She was excommunicated, and then she disappeared off the face of the planet. Her family didn't know where she was, and it turns out that for a good portion of that time, she was living in my hometown. And I found out about this because I was overhearing a conversation in a bookstore in my town. From there, I found out where she was buried, and she's buried near me. And I started looking up things, and with the help of a few friends and with the help of a coworker who managed to access some of those LDS databases for me, I have some information and some photos that I have not seen online, but I'm going to tell her story because aside from the fact that I don't carry the doctrinal belief systems that she espoused, either the previous or the ones at the end of her life, I will say she is a fascinating character. But I have a dead patch because there is a period of time of many years that she lived here that very little happened, even though she is purported to have had followers and she had 8 best sellers that she managed to crank out, part of them during her time here. I also discovered that famous stagecoach robber and poet and musically sort of undertoned Black Bart is also buried near me in Marysville, California. So I happened to be headed out there for a primary reason, and so I made a secondary trip out to Marysville Cemetery, and lo and behold, Black Bart is buried there. The only bummer for me is that he has a headstone that has been put there in the last number of years, and it's very modern looking. It doesn't have that old West patina to it, and I wish it did. I wish it did, but it doesn't. The whole point is is that Black Bart has a backstory that's been covered and covered by various people with various angles and perspectives, and I'm just going to give you mine. Annalise Scarin, there's a dearth of information out there about her and really only one podcast that's really ever been dedicated to her at this point, although one of my podcaster friends out there is probably going to do a show about her at some point, but my hope is to at least beat her to it and possibly provide some of the informational backdrop for them. I would like to be cutting edge on here at some point, but I'm not going to try to manufacture it. Point is, those people have a degree of fame, so that there's no complete shortage of literature about them. But I'm telling you right now, old Milton that I'm going to talk about, he lived a life. And I'm going to prove it. And yet, no one has his historical back, and I'm going to be the one to start it. And I was surprised that one man, that just simply one story of a single person laying in an entire sea of unmarked graves. Who are those people next to him? I have the names, and I'm slowly but surely going to pick one at a time over a period of time. I'm not going to rush into this, and I'm going to peel away the mystery and see what is underneath the story. What kind of life was projected on the sky during the time of their life? Always, always, always do your best to remember those that are gone. And the best way you can do it is to contribute to the memories that people are trying to preserve. And find a grave is not just a site for information or some sort of, a posthumous voyeurism about people's stories. Yes, you can search by famous people, but you can also search by region. You can search your own relatives. Perhaps you'll find one about somebody that you loved and you didn't know that someone started that account, and you can correct the record or add to it so that your progeny, those that come after you, will be able to know about you. Because in this digital age, the written word, It's a commodity that's going away fast. Anyway, a lot of weird speechifying, a lot of weird side storytelling, not my usual style here. I'm not even going to throw the intro music up for this point, but I do have some great shows coming up here in a little bit. And that's also going to include, I am finally going to get to, I had posted on Instagram some time ago a picture of Hunter S. Thompson's book on the Hell's Angels. Well, I had a chat with them, and I'm going to have a story about them, but really about, ironically, there's going to be a TED Talk sort of idea behind the idea of where a singular, charismatic, gifted leader can make the difference between success and oblivion. And I define the word success in the most Hell's Angels sort of way when I do that. I'll go into that one later. Anyway, guys, this is Ron from Box Number 7. We'll see you this weekend with possibly the most exciting show for me personally, because all the research is essentially mine, and I feel like I've truly uncovered a pretty cool gem that will, I don't know, hopefully last. All right, take care. Bye-bye.